Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas. Welcome to There's a Walk for That. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a simple daily habit that transformed my health and my happiness. From easing stress to boosting your energy, there really is a walk for that. Each week, I explore the power of walking and share simple tips to help you make it part of your day. And I bring you our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guests to reflect their life and their passions. I've got something special for you too. My book, Walk Yourself Wonderful, is launching soon. If you're interested in discovering a powerful daily practice that works in harmony with your body's natural design to help you go from frazzled and fatigued to fit and full of joy, then find me on Facebook or Instagram at Feel Good Walk. Just DM me the word joy to join the waiting list and get the book before its official release at half price. So let's get on with the show. To today's episode of There's a Walk for That. I'm delighted to welcome Martin O'Donnell. Martin works in community development at Westminster City Council, working in the neighbourhoods of Soho and Covent Garden, and he's also an official Westminster tour guide and London heritage guide. Martin's passionate about using walking in the workplace, not just as a way to get people moving, but also as a way to connect people more deeply to place and to each other. He has used local walking tours as an incentive to bring people out of their home offices and back into the workplace, creating conversations, sparking creative thinking, and helping people in large organizations meet colleagues they might never normally cross paths with. But Martin's own route into walking is a powerful story in itself. After a devastating accident and a long period of rehabilitation, walking didn't just help him physically, it also helped him mentally to come to terms with what had happened and to find a way forward. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Hi, Harriet. Thanks for inviting me along.
So we came across each other when I was speaking about my Walk Yourself Wonderful Academy at the London Walking Festival conference just a couple of weeks ago. Mm. And I emailed you to see if you'd like to come onto the show without knowing that your way into walking involved what sounds like a very traumatic accident. So can you tell us about what happened and how walking helped in your recovery?
Yeah, well, around 4 years ago, just short of 4 years ago, I was working freelance in Halifax in Yorkshire. And I came out of the office and was thinking, I'll just pop to the supermarket and get something for dinner when I get back to Harrogate, where we lived. And I got hit by a van and I smashed my hip and had to have an emergency hip replacement the next day. It was the most painful thing I've ever experienced in my life. And subsequently, I also had to have two knee replacements as well. So this was like a major, major trauma that I'd never experienced anything like it in my life. Another person on the ward said she'd had an emergency one, and she said she'd rather give birth to her twins six times than go through it. So I ended up in this ward, far away from home, apart from my partner, now my wife, Michelle. And it was a COVID locked up ward. So I couldn't have any visitors and I couldn't move. And I thought, am I ever going to walk again? And anyway, it was very, very painful. And movement was really difficult, but I was encouraged to walk from the day after the surgery, really, and that you have to go through the pain of every movement in order to restore your walking to how it was previously. So I kind of followed that advice. I'm no athlete, and I've never been a sporty person at all, but through those steps from initial, like walking on the corridor, talking to some of the other people on the wards would be like part of the motivation for walking around the ward with a Zimmer frame and support, because, you know, you could always fall over, to gradually increasing the amount I walked. And then by wandering around outdoors, when I started walking around Harrogate, I kind of, after the initial pain, then it starts to feel better. And you feel a sort of warmth and you settle into that pain is there, but there's other distractions out in the open that just help you to get through it. And you feel a sense of achievement after those. So starting with very few steps to you know, quite significant amounts of walking now. So the whole journey as well, because it's real physical pain, but I thought about the mental kind of carnage going on as well. Because as you can imagine, I was incredibly down. It was very limited in terms of physically being able to see people because I was working on a contract, and being a freelance worker, you don't bother to get insurance when you're freelance, really, because you think, well, what can happen if I'm sick? I'm sick for a week, but this knocked me out for 9 months. So there's the financial thing as well, kind of playing on your mind, and just the am I actually always going to be limping around? Which I'm still limping around because I still need another hip replaced. But I know that going into that and going into the knee surgery as well, having the benefit of that emergency hip replacement meant that I could then look and plan for the fullest possible recovery from the knee replacements. I knew I'd be going through another set of pain in order to get better. But I knew that if I did as my surgeon said I had to do, was keep moving. And so that really just helped me to get there with it. And then I found that walking was, you know, I really saw the benefits of walking just in terms of simple things like changing your mood. And I find that creative ideas come to me, solutions to problems, or just little bits of curiosity that I might look up when I get home because I've seen something on a street and wonder, what's the history of that building? It looks sort of Victorian or Georgian or something else. I wonder what that is actually used for or was originally built for. And I think that is, you know, that I found that really positive and powerful as well. So altogether, walking's been this great journey for me. And then when I came to London and started working in community development for Westminster City Council, I trained as a tour guide at the same time to take this interest in history and the local environment together, which knitted quite nicely with the community development work about working in particular neighbourhoods, in my case in Soho and Covent Garden and St James's. And so I've learned as I've gone along and really enjoyed that aspect of my work.
That's such a powerful story on so many levels, because first of all, I love how you said it was talking to all the people on the ward that encouraged you to actually walk, that you had to walk to go and see them. And it's almost like that already there's that duality with walking and connection, and that you actually continue in your work now. Doctors are always telling us to keep moving. And of course, walking is such an easy way to keep moving. But what you've, I think, really beautifully illustrated is how walking is such a rich activity. Not only did it obviously help your body, boosted your mood, but also your curiosity. You know, you started to see all these things around you. And I think that's, for me, one of the reasons why walking is such a perfect exercise, because in doing it, there's so much to see. There's so much adventure to be had. And I think that's why people can become slightly addicted to walking, because it's such a rich experience. Every walk is such a rich experience.
It's such a great habit to develop, both for your physical and mental health. You know, I still like creaking in the morning and, I don't fancy that walk really. And then once I'm moving, you get into a rhythm of it. Whatever speed you're able to go at, it doesn't really matter. It's the fact of the movement. And, you know, when you amble along and you start talking to people, you inquire about what's happening there. And these sort of things, these are really, I think, really great, because I have these three M's that I thought when I was down. It's Martin's three M's: music, because music really changes my mood, movement, and mouth. And those three things together, talking to people, Maybe the music comes first, just to help you soothe into that and forget about the aches and pains before you start, and then starting to move, you just get into just a happier place. That's my experience anyway.
Well, talking about music, every week I ask my guests to choose their trail mix. So three songs that mean something to them. So what's your first song, Martin, and why have you chosen it?
My first song is Soho Square by Kirsty MacColl. Kirsty MacColl is famously linked with Soho Square, not just because of that song. Also, there's a memorial bench to her because she tragically died quite young. And it's very much Soho Square is the start of many a tour. The statue of Charles II is a good place to meet, and then continue your adventures in all directions from there.
Square on my butt. So welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. And today I'm talking with Martin O'Donnell, who works in community development at Westminster City Council, and he is an official Westminster tour guide. We often think of walking as a leisure activity, like something that we do outside work, once the emails and the meetings are done. But you've turned that idea on its head by using walking as a way to improve how your organisation works. Can you tell us a little bit about the community walks that you've developed for staff and councillors at Westminster City Council?
When I started working in community development, I would walk between the different community partners that we work with. My role is about bringing community intelligence to the council and to colleagues and share the knowledge about the community organisations that we work with, because a lot of community organisations are very much from the people, the residents who live there and who volunteer their time often to deliver some sort of service in addition to what your local council is able to deliver. As I was walking around and doing this, I thought I'd train as a tour guide. And during the course of that course, which was like 9 months, I was reading up on the neighbourhoods in which I was working in. So my kind of side interest then benefited and contributed to my effectiveness working for the council. We then developed some community walks for staff and local councillors to share that intelligence across the whole of the council. So often people will think of the council as like one organisation, when in reality there's so many different teams with so many different responsibilities. It's very hard to keep it all connected. And the walks are a way to show new staff and colleagues who are beginning to work in that neighbourhood, whether it's Covent Garden or Pimlico or somewhere else, who are the organisations we can work with to deliver services more effectively. But they're also a great chance for staff to meet local residents and to hear the concerns and challenges faced by our community partners. We've had staff who've gone on to volunteer for the community partners we've visited along the way. So normally we'd start at one venue and end with another and finish with a cup of tea and talk about what are the things that we could do to improve things for this neighbourhood. I've got a walk in Pimlico next Tuesday that I'm delivering, and someone emailed me just before we've just met to say they'd found a wonderful resident with a rich kind of history in Pimlico. And I said, well, invite her along, please. And let's hear her story of this neighbourhood and how it's changed over the years and what insights she can give us as a team. And then it's good for team colleagues who, you know, there's a couple of thousand people working for Westminster Council. It's good for colleagues to know people in other departments, and that helps us all to communicate more effectively.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And today I'm talking with Martin O'Donnell, who works in community development at Westminster City Council and is an official Westminster tour guide. And I'm sure you've gathered by now that Martin is passionate about walking and is also unstoppably curious about what he sees around him. Just that story you're telling of someone who's lived in Pimlico a long time and you're inviting her to join the walk, it makes me feel like you're developing an oral history through the walking of your area.
We're looking at, so developed a program called Human Libraries, which is sort of 3 to 5 minute films of people from different communities around Westminster. We've done 6 editions of this so far with about 10 people in each cohort. We've done a number of different communities around Westminster. Those have been really helpful. And we work closely with the Museum of Soho, who are also very interested in telling the story of the different communities that have come to Soho to make it their home, from the Huguenots to the Jewish community to more recent arrivals, and the industries that started there over time and the skills that people brought with them that enabled those industries to start, from the early recording industry to filmmaking to gold and silversmith, obviously fashion as well. So all these fleeting layers have landed and left their mark in different little bits as you wander around and can see. You know, Harry, as well as that, not everywhere has got such a rich history as Soho. But my wife is a teacher. Most school holidays, we're in Yorkshire, but we're in a small town called Driffield. And I went for a walk the other day along the canal to Wansford. And there I found that the cotton mill there used to bring children, London orphans, all the way to Wansford in the East Riding to work in the factories. So early economic migrants to Yorkshire. Even in small little places, there is some history perking its head up there. That building now converted into, well, what else? Flats. These things, and even the history of the canal. Why didn't the canal continue past Driffield? Well, because the railways came along 20 years later, and just that was the canal's done as a form of industrial transport.
The way you're describing it, it's like you're a walking archaeologist. You know, you're seeing all these clues in the landscape or the urban scape that you're walking through, and you're asking yourself, okay, why is this here? What's its history? And piecing together these stories, and the result is an understanding about our past, like how this moment that we're living in right now came from an immense series of events that all interlink and bring us here to you looking at what is now a block of flats. But it's got this story of child labour, really brings history to life, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. And the Industrial Revolution, people didn't really see, working people didn't really see any benefits for that for a very long time. And now we've got an AI kind of industrial revolution on the way. And is it going to have the same effects? Are people going to be put out of work? Canal as well, you know, that they were built for something that just didn't take off. It was a bit like, what was the other one than VHS that didn't take off? Betamax. The canals were the Betamax to the railways, VHS.
So our landscape holds the residue of things that have worked and things that haven't worked in our industrial history or maybe our cultural history.
Yeah, it's a sort of infrastructure memory.
I'd love to know now, what is your second Trail Mix song? What have you got for us?
Second song is Berwick Street, and Berwick Street is a famous market in Soho. It was called the Golden Mile of Vinyl because of the number of record shops that were there at one time. And still there's a number of famous record shops there. The song was recorded with the backdrop of market traders and visitors talking on Berwick Street Market. It's a little jazzy kind of, it gives you a sense of the bustlingness of Berwick Street, and it's by Jazzy Beats.
Bye.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. And as we're discovering with Martin O'Donnell, how you can actually use walking to connect with your work colleagues, your community at work, and also the community in the place where you live, as well as history. The whole thing. So, Martin, we've been talking about how you're using walking inside Westminster City Council as a way to build a more collaborative work community. But what about the borough itself? So Westminster is such a diverse place with residents and businesses and visitors and workers and history and culture and community all layered on top of each other in this incredibly diverse mix. So does walking have a role to play in helping people to understand all of those layers better and to connect across the differences and build a stronger sense of community cohesion?
Well, I think walking is a really great interaction to have and to communicate with people, because if you've got a difficult conversation with a colleague, you might want to go for a walk and discuss it, because it's not face to face across a table. It's a more relaxed thing. And when there's other things going on, it puts across a more gentle message. So if it's a difficult conversation, walking will make that conversation a bit easier. Walking develops an understanding as well. A better understanding. People are more informal when they're walking. They're more free to say what they think or get to the nub of the issue without necessarily the formality that you might find with the council otherwise. You get more of a sense of neighbourhood. So in my role in community development, it's a bit about development of community, but also in terms of developing the social and cultural capital that is there, that businesses or councils on their own wouldn't necessarily pick up. They wouldn't pick up that bit. How do you even measure social and cultural capital? But it starts with the little interactions where people see something. They want to install some greenery in a public space just to make a grey area look a little bit better, or want maybe a bench at a bus stop. So exploring these things, unlocking spaces and putting something useful in them can be a very powerful thing. And if you were trying to, as an organisation, create something like that from scratch without that motivation and that drive, how much would it cost you to create these things? When we get things created at very little cost, what gets people together to run a parent toddler group or activities for isolated people? People's motivation is about their neighbourhood and that sense of coming together.
That's so true. Yeah, that's the spark, isn't it? Almost the X factor that we miss if we're always using the underground in London, or if we're always in our car. We miss our community. And I think we feel that missing without really knowing what it is that we're lacking. I mean, I went for a walk today, as I always do, and I met two people on my walk. I mean, total strangers, but I kind of made two friends on my walk. One of them was a lady who needed help with her garden. So I was like, oh, I'll come and help you with your garden. So for me, that's a real win-win, because that's someone in my community that I can help. And I love gardening. But if I didn't walk, I would never have met her, and we wouldn't have had the opportunity for that connection, because we're just two strangers who don't know each other. I think that's what happens when you start walking in your neighbourhood.
Yes. Yeah, so this walk I'm leading next week in Pimlico, where that lady is going to come along, hopefully, and tell us about her own history of Pimlico. The reason for that walk in particular is because I'm managing an open house neighbourhood festival in Pimlico. In September, from the 12th to the 20th. I want to gather ideas for that. So we'll be visiting places that will be participating in that festival. I will no doubt hear lots of answers, lots of suggestions from people. And in that walk, we finish up with our partners at Tate Britain for a cup of tea. So we'll be finishing with tea at the Tate and talk about planning that festival together and thinking about how that might look and how we might all participate with that.
It sounds amazing, and I love the fact that it's not a top-down approach. It's really coming literally from the streets, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I'm really looking forward to helping the residents there deliver that project.
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and your mental health, and also transform your communities and how you relate to your communities and to the physical space around you. Helping me think about that is Martin O'Donnell, who works in community development at Westminster City Council. And as I mentioned before, last week I spent such a fascinating couple of hours walking around Soho with you. On next week's show, listeners will get the chance to come along with us and hear that walk for themselves. But what struck me was the way that you brought all of the streets to life, like every turning and every building, every sign seemed to have a story behind it. And I've lived in London for most of my life, but I saw it through completely fresh eyes. And I have to admit that I often think the ideal walk is always going to be in the countryside, but you actually showed me how walking in a busy city is equally as rewarding. And it made me realize that I've been walking through my own city, London, kind of half blind, not really noticing the layers of history and human stories and hidden detail that's sitting beneath the surface. So for anyone who's listening at home and who's thinking, well, I just walk through my streets too, and the traffic and the shops, and I'm not really seeing what's there. What tips have you got? What tips can you give us for getting more out of urban walking? How can we learn to see our streets differently?
Take a different route would be the obvious one, because there's always more than one way to get from A to B. I live about 10 minutes walk from Totteridge and Whetstone Station in Barnet, and I can walk on the roads, or I can cut through the Whetstone Stray, and it takes 5 minutes longer, but I'm just practically walking through a park all the way to the tube station. And that extra 5 minutes is what I was going to do with it. I don't know really, but it's getting me more steps in, which I'm always trying to think of. You know, we're encouraged to get to 10,000 steps a day. I don't know. I'm not sure how important that is, but it certainly helps me in the steps I'm trying to make, and just making sure I'm clocking up enough to kind of keep me in some reasonable health. We're very lucky, particularly in London, that there's so much green space in urban areas. We might actually walk round them, but there's often ways to walk through them to get to where you want to be.
I think something that I started to do when I started walking every day in nature, but now I apply it to urban walks, is I'll think, okay, let me take 10 photos on the way. That makes me kind of look for something interesting. Most people have a smartphone or a phone that will take photos. So I think those two ways you've suggested, A, find a new route. Because I noticed today when I was Googling a walking route to where I was going, Google just gives you the street route by default, but there was a massive great park that I was like, well, hang on a minute, I can easily walk through that park. So it's sort of taking a moment just to look at your route and see maybe where the green spaces are, or simply an alternative route that's off the main drag. So you might walk through some nice side streets or something, and then get your camera out and take a few photos. Look where you're going. It won't slow you down really, but you might just, it's a way of getting curious about what you see.
Yeah, and you might walk down a street and it's all row upon row of Edwardian or Victorian houses, and suddenly there's a modern block there, and you might think, well, oh, is that from the Second World War? Did something land there? Why would they spoil that view with a? They wouldn't have knocked it down to spoil that lovely kind of whole street of Edwardian houses.
Martin, what is your third trail mix song? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, the third one is just because, well, it's my last song, and it's just Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves.
Love that song.
I just giggle like just telling you the name of it because it's just upbeat. It doesn't have any Soho or Westminster connections, but it's just upbeat. It's sunny. Feel like your feet are light as you listen to that as you amble along.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And I hope you'll agree with me that this has been a fascinating and wide-ranging conversation with Martin O'Donnell, who works in community development at Westminster City Council. And we've really talked about the richness of walking in terms of walking is never just walking. You've told us about how walking has helped you recover physically and mentally, how it can help us see familiar streets with fresh eyes. It can bring people together, spark ideas, build collaboration. And I love the idea that even in the middle of a busy city like London, there are stories and there are communities, there are history and human connection all around us if we slow down enough to notice. For anyone listening who'd like to find out more about you and your walks and your work, how can they get in touch with you? Is there anywhere where they can find out more about what you do?
Well, our walks will be on Westminster City Council's website. We've got over 30 as part of our Inside Out Festival in August in different areas of Westminster. And between the 12th and the 20th of September, we've got another 30-odd walks delivered by professional tour guides in different parts of Westminster, and that will be through the Open House London web platform.
Okay, so for anyone who either lives in London or is visiting London in August or September, there's masses of opportunities to join your walk. So go to the Westminster City Council or to the Open House London. Open House London. Thank you so much, Martin. Thank you for sharing your story and your work and your passion for walking with such enthusiasm.
Thank you. It's been lovely talking to you.
So as we've heard from Martin today, in the workplace, walking can be a way to build community and bring people together across teams and departments. And at a time when many organizations are still trying to find a meaningful reasons for people to come into the office, a shared walk offers something more human than yet another Zoom meeting. So it gives people a reason to step away from the screen and explore the places that they serve and connect with colleagues that they might never normally meet. And beyond the workplace, walking can also change the way that we see our cities. It can help us read the streets and uncover the hidden stories and even meet our neighbours who may be living just down the road from us, but we've never actually said hello yet. So next week, join me as Martin takes me on a walk through London's famous Soho district. We'll be wandering through streets that are linked with music, theatre and scandal, and we'll even hear how Soho is linked to a discovery that has saved millions of lives. It's a walk that made me realise how much story is hidden in places that we think we already know. So do join me next week for that. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, and Martin O'Donnell here on UK Health Radio. And as always, happy walking.